Liz and I had a great time in Georgia. You know, high 70s, low 80s, everything was green and lush. And last Sunday morning, we drove up here to Brown, and Brown, it's going to get green. Today's a nice indication of that. Sunshine, blue skies. I think back a few days ago, we had that rain. A lot of mud puddles around our area. I don't know about you. Speaking of mud puddles, I think of Our Daily Bread. How many of you use Our Daily Bread? Okay, a few. They're out there. It's a great devotional to use. If you think back to Thursday of this week, you might remember an illustration that was used about mud puddles. Talks about a boy standing in a mud puddle. And his dad says, don't stand in the puddle. And so the boy doesn't stand in the puddle. He begins to run back and forth through the puddle. Dad says, don't run through the puddle. And so the boy stops running through the puddle. And he begins to walk through the puddle. Don't walk through the puddle either. So the boy stops walking through the puddle. But he goes up to the edge of the puddle and just gets his toes in there. He looks up defiantly at his father. He knows what to do, but he doesn't want to do it. You think of the father in that situation. What was he thinking? I don't know what he was thinking, but I would have thought something like, why can't he do what he's told to do? I see some parents going like this. Yeah. Why does he have to act that way? Another scenario, same mud puddle, same boy barefoot standing in the mud puddle, and his dad says, get out of the mud puddle. And he looks up, ashamed that he's in the puddle, and he gets out of the puddle. And he shakes the muddy water off his feet. What thoughts could be going through the father's mind? That's what he's told to do. He's obeying, and it brings joy to my heart that my boy is obeying and doing what I ask. You and I have potential mud puddles in our lives, in our day-to-day living. We have mud puddles we call sin. And we know we're not to be in those mud puddles. But just like the little boy, being a little boy, being barefoot, that muddy water feels good on bare feet, wants to get in the puddle even though he knows he shouldn't. We can be very, very tempted, and we are very, very tempted to go ahead and jump in that mud puddle, even to splash around in it. And when I think about that, I think about myself. I think, what does my Heavenly Father think when I do that? Why can't he just do what I told him to do? He tells me what to do. He tells me what not to do. How do we have victory over those mud puddles? What brings victory? Obedience. Obedience brings victory. Now, when those mud puddles come along, the Bible tells us that we have a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. How many are familiar with that verse? There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above or beyond that you are able, but will also, when that temptation comes, make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it. Say no to that temptation. Often, we don't take the way of escape, we take the bridge that goes through the sin. Little things that lead us to a place where we find ourselves sinning against God. He provides a way of escape. Does he always do that? Does he? Yes, no. Yes. He says he does. So he does. Sometimes we are so blinded, so not focused on, so not in tune with the Lord that we don't see that way. But it's always there. if we're living in an attitude of looking for that way. Sometimes we see that way of escape. Thank you, Vilma. Sometimes we know what the way of escape is, but we ignore it. And we go ahead and sin. Ignoring that way of escape is doing what? It's ignoring God. God says when we do jump in that mud puddle, when we do sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For Psalm 19. In Psalm 119:34, we read this. Help me understand your instruction. A prayer to God by the psalmist. Help me to understand your instruction, and I will obey it and follow it with all my heart. Obey it, follow it with all my heart means staying out of the mud puddles. It means not even going near the mud puddles. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. In your bulletin, you see the title I had given to the message, As Obedient Children. The first part of that chapter talks about walking in hope. The last part talks about walking in holiness. I'm not just reading verse 13. Let me read to you. This is from the English Standard Version. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, You shall be holy, for I am holy. If you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. As I was preparing this message, it was coming along, but I was struggling. At different times, Liz would say, is your message finished yet? No, I'm still working on it. A couple days, is it finished yet? No, I'm still working on it. Whenever I do prepare a message, I'm always working on it right up until the day before because new thoughts come. But this is a different, kind of a struggle. Yesterday, as I was sitting in my study at home, I just couldn't go any farther on the approach that I was taking from the Scripture. And I prayed about it, struggled with it in prayer, and God seemed to give me a different approach to the same thought. As obedient children, obeying the Master. And so, I want to approach it from a little bit of a different way. Speaking again in mud puddles, though, CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, defines sin and uses it in this way for children to help them understand what sin is. Sin is anything we do, say, or think in our hearts that displeases God. Do, say, and think in our hearts. Which of those are actions? They all are, aren't they? Doing is an action, saying or speaking is an action, and thinking is an action in the mind. So let's think about worship. about how we relate to the Lord to be similar. Worship is the expression of love and obedience to the Lord through our actions. It's just one definition. It's not the definition. Worship is the expression of love and obedience to the Lord through our actions. Now, if we think of what we said earlier about what constitutes an action, all we do say and think in our hearts, we can say it this way. Worship is the expression of love and obedience to the Lord through what we do say and think in our hearts. Do say and think in our hearts. You and I have been worshiping God with our lives 24/7. We were just in men's Sunday school class talking about the song that we sang. John mentioned it. Take time to be holy. And it's not that we take time from everything else we're doing to be holy, but our whole life, our day-to-day living, is to be a holy life. Every part of our lives to be worshiping the Lord. Now, stay with me on this, my approach here. I'm going to talk about dogs. Not dogs and mud puddles and that kind of thing. I'm going to talk about how many of you like dogs? Okay. How many of you have dogs? How many of you have dogs and still like dogs? Of all the dogs that I had since I was a boy, I think my favorites were the Great Shepherds, called Alsatians as well, German Shepherds. I know, there's just something about a German Shepherd. Our last German Shepherd was named Darcy. I had to have her put to sleep a number of years ago. She got the thing that shepherds get, the hip dysplasia, something like that, and she just hardly could walk anymore. Great dog, though. Called her Darcy. Her full AKC pedigree name was Lady Darcy of God's Creation. I've only had 28 letters, and I used all of them. I wanted to say God's wonderful creation, but they didn't give me enough letters, so Lady Darcy of God's Creation. Shepherds are used as police dogs, bomb detectors, guide dogs. Very intelligent dog. Darcy never read a book. I'm surprised at that. She never went to obedience school, and yet Darcy was obedient to me, her master. I want to share some of the disciplines that Darcy learned and apply those to you and me. One of the things that I enjoyed with Darcy was to take her for a walk. We got her when she was just a little puppy. She was AKC registered. She was purebred. But we drove past our Kroger store down in Warrenton, Missouri, where we lived, and this pickup truck had these puppies in the back. And the people owned both the mom and dad as well. And they're for sale. We thought of getting one for our son. But found out he didn't want one. As we went by, they were still for sale. And one day I saw they were selling for $50. This is AKC registered. And I said, we've got to get one of these. So we did, and we got Darcy. As a pup, I began to take her for... How many of you like to take a dog for a walk? Okay. How many of you like to take your dog for a walk and find out... How many of you do take your dog for a walk and find out that actually your dog's taking you for a walk? Have you ever done that? I determined that was not going to be the case with Darcy. I didn't want her running all over, so I had her on a leash. I had a leash law in Warrenton. Had her on a leash, and my first thing was to teach her to heel. So, a little puppy, kind of scatterbrain. And to get her to heel was not going to come quickly. But I just kept determined. I kept her right here. Had the training choke chain on her. And so we would walk. And I'd keep her right here. And she'd try to pull away, and I'd say, heel. And we'd walk, try to pull away, and say, heel. We just did that day after day. Took her for a walk. Little by little, as she grew up, I didn't have to say heel so much. I would just say heel, and then we would walk. And soon she learned to keep her head right here at my left knee. She didn't go ahead. I'm going to get ahead of my notes here if I'm not careful. And she didn't lag behind. She kept in step with me. I think even if we hadn't had the leash law, I could have taken the leash off. I know she would have stayed right there beside me. Every so often as we were walking along, Darcy would look up at me like this. And I think even the first time she did it, my thought was, she's wondering if she's doing okay. She's wondering if she's obeying me. And so I would say, good girl, good girl. And we'd walk on. And different times in our walk, sometimes we'd walk a mile or two, and she'd look up. And it's kind of, am I doing right? Am I doing okay? Yes, Darcy, you're doing fine. I'd encourage her. We'd walk up to a street where I'd have to stop. I'd stop and she'd automatically sit. And when I started to go, she'd get up and she'd heal right beside me. And I think about our walk with our Master, the Lord of creation. We are to, in a sense, heal. We are to walk with Him. We are to walk with Him. We are not to, sometimes we can be like the dog that's not allowed itself to be trained and try to pull this way and that way and backward. But we're to walk with the Lord. In Proverbs 20:24, it says, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. When we went for a walk, I knew where I wanted to go. And I wanted Darcy to go where I went. That's why I taught her to heal. That's why I trained her. That's why I worked with her. The Lord has His steps for us. It says the Lord directs our steps. He has the way for you to go. For you to go. And He knows the right way to go. And we can tend to wander off our own way. But if we allow Him to train us through His Word, through studying His Word, through worshiping together, through walking with Him, through obedience, we will walk in His steps. We will walk where He wants us to go. A paraphrase, it's actually from the Message, and I don't like to use the Message unless it's very close to the book. It says otherwise, the very steps we take come from God. Otherwise, how would we know where we're going? God has to be one to lead us. Who are we as humans to really know the right way, especially in walking with Him? Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. Paraphrase, I know, God, that mere mortals can't run their own lives, that men and women don't have what it takes to take charge of life. It all depends on Him. Micah 6:8 says, He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Walking with the Lord. Not running ahead and not lagging behind. Galatians 5:23 says, Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Paraphrase says, Since this is the kind of life we've chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives, living out the Word of God, walking in step with the Lord. That is obedience. We look to Him in prayer. We look to His Word, just like Darcy would look up to me to see how she's doing. Will I get her encouragement? We look to the Lord. We look to His Word. And we should ask Him, as the psalmist did a number of times, Lord, show me my heart. Am I doing okay? Am I walking with You? Am I walking in obedience? That needs to be my determination. It needs to be my focus. That needs to be, the direction that I go. I determine to do that by God's grace. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Live freely, animated, motivated by God's Spirit, then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. Darcy wasn't concerned about what others thought. She was concerned about her Master and what I thought. My concern needs to be what God thinks. We use the phrase sometimes, we play for an audience of one. I'm living before God. What counts is what He thinks of the way I live. What counts is the way He sees me, living obedience to His Word. Something else, when we go out walking, there's some feeling. In the early stages, we'd walk along and going through a neighborhood, and a dog would bark. See, Darcy would start barking, and Darcy would swing around to look at it, and no, he'd heal. Pretty soon, we got to, she would just turn her head. And they got to the place where we're walking along, she's looking straight ahead, dog barks, I see her ears just perk a little bit, she looks straight ahead, she doesn't look around, she's not distracted. How easy is it for us to become distracted in our lives? By things, by people, by circumstances that can take away our focus from the Lord. You know those things in your own life. I know in my life. And we have to guard against those. Those distractions can become mud puddles for us. Keep following straight ahead, walking with the Lord. Those distractions get our attention, but we continue in obedience to the Lord. I like something I heard on the radio a number of times. How many listen to intentional living? Okay, living intentionally. When I first heard that, I thought, you know, that's really worded well. Living with intention. Our Christian life, lived as it ought to be, doesn't just happen. You don't just live your life and I'm living Christian life because I'm a Christian. We have to work at it. God gives us His Word. He tells us how to live. He tells us how to act, what to say, what to do. And we have to be focused on that. We have to work on our walk with Him, that we walk worthy, that we walk in obedience with Him. So it has to be intentional. It doesn't just happen. Are you living intentionally? I have to ask myself that. Am I living intentionally? When I wake up in the morning, my first thought is a couple of choruses. I keep saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Are you familiar with that? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Sing it with me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. That's just a good start for me in the morning, for the day, remembering what Christ did for me. There's another one that's a thank you song. Sing this with me if you know it too. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Anybody familiar with that? Okay, listen to what we need to learn. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for victories won. Oh, thank you, Lord. I started too high. For Thy love and tender care. For Thy word and answered prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thanking Him in the morning sets the tone for me for the day. Sometimes I go to bed at night, I'll sing the same choruses. Just to help me. I need that. I need that help. I don't sing out loud, by the way, because this isn't human singing, but in my heart. It helps me to be reminded that this is a life that God has given me. By His grace, I'm thankful for it, and I need to live intentionally. Walk in step with God, ask how you're doing, and don't be distracted. Another thing that I taught Darcy to do, a discipline, was to stay. I tell her, stay. Sit was basically this. I didn't say anything. This is sit and stay. Sit and stay. Finally, I didn't use words. She was German Shepherd, but I didn't use German. I used English, and it was okay. She was sit and stay. I would take her. Sometimes I would give a devotional based on this at our Child Evangelism Fellowship Institute for students. And I would take Darcy out with me, and out in front of one of the buildings, there's a walkway that goes out from the main entrance to a flagpole. It's quite some distance. It's probably twice the distance is from here to the back. I would take her near that flagpole, and I'd tell her to sit and stay. I'd turn, and I'd walk away. And I'd walk all the way up to where everybody was standing, turn back around, and Darcy was still sitting there. Who do you think she was looking at? All the students standing around? No. She was looking at me. Because she would not move from that spot until I said, come. And then she'd come running up to me. She stayed when I turned and walked away. Waiting on the Lord is not always easy. Sometimes He tells us to stay in a certain circumstance, in a certain situation, and sometimes even in the middle of that, it seems like He's turned and walked away. You ever felt that way? Did He walk away? No, but it can seem that way. But she could still see me. If I went around the corner, if I tried this in the front yard, say, and if I walked around the corner, she didn't stay as easily. She wanted to at least see me. And we can always at least see, even though we don't feel that God is there. We know because of His Word that He is. And so I'd walk away, and she would stay because she trusted me. She didn't learn that in one sitting. All of this was training. We don't learn all that we need to know as believers in our walk with the Lord. We don't learn it the minute we trust Christ as Savior. That's just the beginning of our Christian life and growing. But we learn it along the way if we're in God's Word, if we're intentional in our living, if we allow Him to teach us. He brings things to our lives in teaching us. In school, college, in training, whatever, tests are given. How many of you really enjoy taking tests? Sometimes people do. That Matt, I thought his name would go up. Okay, Paul. What is the purpose of a test? Somebody tell me what the purpose of a test is. Okay, who to find out what you know? For who to find out what you know? Basically, for the teacher to find out what you know. It could be an oral test, could be a written test. You write your answers, you turn it in, she looks at it, he looks at it. Aha! Learned this, didn't learn this, learned this, learned this, didn't learn. So the teacher can find out what you actually learned. But it's also for what? For you to find out what you know, what you learned. Now, with us as believers, we get tests all the time, don't we? Who sends those tests our way? God. Why? Is it so that He can find out what we know? He can find out what we've learned in our Christian walk? He knows all that, because He knows my heart, and He knows your heart. Why does He send a test your way and my way? He wants us to realize or recognize either we have learned what He's been teaching us and we can rejoice in that, or we haven't learned. That's why He sends it, because He wants us to learn. He is faithful to continue to work into us to complete the work that He's begun in us. So, Darcy always had a choice to stay or not to stay. If you think about trusting God, obeying Him faithfully, and we consider Job's situation. Remember Job? Why did those difficulties come Job's way? What instigated that? Or who instigated that? Satan did not instigate that. I need to tell you that truth. Satan was before God, and God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job a faithful one, one who fears me, a man of integrity?" As I read that, I'm thinking, God was setting Job up. But He knew Job's heart. God is the one that sends tests our way, but He knows your heart. He knows what we can take. You see, with with Abraham, the different tests that he went through, and he failed some of them. You know, Sarah's my sister, and those kind of things. But then, all of that was preparing for the big test of offering Isaac. And Abraham passed. God sends tests our way so that we can learn what it is to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, from the bottom of my heart, listening for God's voice in all that I do. It's good that we're not dependent on our own understanding. And yet, how often do we live that way? How often do we live just trusting our own understanding, what we understand about a certain thing, a certain circumstance, a certain person? Don't live that way. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I often thought, at the end of the day, before going to bed, if I spend time with the Lord, and I think back through the day, how often did I involve God in my day, in my thinking? Was it basically morning devotions, time with Him in prayer and the Word, and then praying at night? Or was He... He was always there. We need to, Brother Lawrence said, practice the presence of the Lord. Be conscious of His presence with us and in us. But He should be... How many thoughts do you have in a day? How many thoughts have you had just since the service started? Hundreds of thoughts. If our thoughts could be looked at the end of the day, how often would we see God's fingerprints on them? Where we've involved God in our thinking, in our actions, in our decisions, and what we're doing. God says we're to bring glory to Him in all things. He needs to be involved in every area of our life. That's obedience. Acting as obedient children. We can trust our God even when we don't understand. Keep our eyes on Him. Keep trusting Him. Having Darcy heal and stay were two disciplines. I enjoyed having her do something that wasn't really practical. I mean, those would have been practical. Depending on the situation. If there was a problem and I wanted her to stay for some reason, not just out of, you know, doing it, but for a reason, she would have stayed and so on. Well, I would take a dog biscuit and I'm going to say this. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but one time, this is when I was a boy and I didn't know any better. You know, about man's age. I was a boy. We had a dog, a different dog, and it was also a shepherd. And she had little dog biscuits. And one day I put them in a bowl in our house up on the mantle over the fireplace. And after school, kids would come over. Some of the guys would come over and play chess. We'd do different things. And they'd help themselves to things. So there it was, and David helped himself, and he thought, this is different. He only took one piece, but I discovered later it's really not a good thing for people to eat. But anyway, a good thing for a dog. A biscuit is good for a dog if you don't give him too many. No reason why she shouldn't have it. I intended to give it to her. So I'd have her sit, and then I'd put the biscuit down just in front of her, at her feet. Well, Darcy had two choices. She could look at the biscuit, or she could look at me. And it was interesting as this would play out, like with those students, I'd do it. And if she looked at the biscuit, she was crossing that bridge, wasn't she? She's looking at disobedience there. If she looked at the biscuit, her tendency was to what? Go for the biscuit. And as she started to lower her head, I would say, Darcy, no. She looked back up. That would happen very seldom. Usually, I'd put it down, and she would just look me right in the eyes. Like I'm looking Scott in the eyes. Look you right in the eyes. She's waiting. She wants that biscuit so bad, but she won't do it because she's obeying me. She's waiting, waiting for me to say it's okay. How many times are there things that are good for us in our lives? And nothing wrong with them. They're good for us. But without consulting God, without asking Him, we just go ahead and go for it. We go for whatever that thing is that we want. Not asking Him first, is this okay? Is this good for me to do? Is this the right time for me to do this? To make this choice, to buy this thing, to do this? God wants us to allow Him to be the one to direct our paths. Isaiah 64:4 says, "No one has heard, nor ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for Him." Isaiah 30:18, "Blessed are all those who wait for Him. The Lord always does right. He blesses those who trust Him." 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who wait for Him." Are you having a hard time waiting on God, maybe in a certain area? Something you've been praying for, maybe, or asking about, wondering about? Be patient. The one who waits for Him, God gives the good things. Desire only the good. Don't focus on the good thing. Focus on the Lord and wait for His timing. Last thing, and this isn't anything that I taught her. This is just her nature. The nature of the dog with the master. When I would come home from serving, working out at CEF in the day, one of the first things I would do is go out, change my clothes, go out in the backyard, open the dog pen, and Darcy would come running out of the dog pen, and she'd just, you've seen dogs do that, just race around the yard for two or three times. And when she was through getting that out of her system, she would race right up, I thought she'd knock me over, she'd race right up to me, and, you know, right as close as she could be and put her head up here, she wanted to be close. She wanted to be as near to me as she could possibly be. If I sat down, lawn chair out and back, she was right there. She put her head up my knee and she looked at me. Big brown eyes. Shepherd's eyes are just special. These are better, I gotta tell you that. She wanted to be near me. She wanted that closeness. If I was working outside and she was in the yard, she would follow me around wherever I was. She wanted to be where I was. Or if I did sit down and she went out and sat in the yard, usually she's looking to see where I am because she's focused on the master. Hebrews 12:1 speaks of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Luke 10, we looked at that a number of weeks ago. Mary was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to His word. She chose the good part. Mary sat before the Master, paraphrase, hanging on every word He said, only one thing that is essential. Mary's chosen it. It's the main course and will be taken from her. I have no idea how much Darcy thought about me, like during the day when I'm at work. I don't imagine she sat in her doghouse or in her pen and thought, "Boy, I wonder where he is. I wonder when he's coming home." She may have somehow instinctively, I don't know. But with us and our Master, the Lord, how much are we thinking about Him? Our thoughts on heavenly things, our thoughts on the Lord. We have things that we have to think about. We have work to do. We have school, training, education. We have other things that occupy our thoughts. But again, how much do we involve the Lord in that? For He wants to be involved all the time in everything. The words of the psalmist Asaph, "It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works." So, I learned a lot from my dog. I learned that I need to stay close to the Lord, sit at His feet, listen to Him, worship Him. The question that remains for me from these thoughts is, do I obey my Master as well as Darcy obeyed me? Am I that consistent? Am I wanting so much to be close to Him? Is that the ache, the longing of my heart to be close to Him, to hunger for His word, And I want that to drive me every day. That's my desire. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for by His own Son. So then honor God, bring glory to Him in your body and your spirit, which are His. I watched a DVD some time ago. He spoke about discipleship. He referred to young Jewish men who would attain the place of a disciple with a certain rabbi. Of the things the young disciple desired to have said of him was that he was covered with the dust of the rabbi. He followed so closely behind in the steps of his rabbi, learning to do what he did and even how he did it, that in the roads, dust would kick up. He would be covered with the dust of the rabbi. I want that to be true in my life. I trust you want that to be true in your life. Let's pray. Father, your word is truth. Your word is living and powerful. You promise to use your word in our lives. You open your word to us. You help us understand by the Spirit. Father, help us constantly, continually be, have hearts open to your word, learning what you have to teach us, how to live, and then, Lord, make us obedient. Make us obedient children, that we may obey you in holiness and love in every aspect and area of our life. For your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If any of these thoughts were helpful to you, when you leave this morning, Darcy's going to be in the back table, and she has a little leaflet that has those thoughts for you. Okay? Ready?
I'll turn the song over to 655.